All right, let's turn to Proverbs. We're looking at the book of Proverbs, and we've been studying the first nine chapters in detail, paragraph by paragraph, like we always do. And now what I'm going to do, since the first nine chapters are the teacher's introduction, those chapters introduce us to the rest of the book of Proverbs, and what I'd like to do is look at some of the characters we've been talking about in these first nine verses. And we'll start with the negative characters and then go to the positive character, the wise person. But first, we're going to go through the negative characters from bad to worse. And the one who's on the edge, who's not yet an evil person as such, but has to learn that, is the naive person, and that's where we'll start with the naive person. Now, if you look at Proverbs 7, you'll see that the writer of this introduction is sitting in his house, and it says in verse 6, "For at my window of my house I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths." So he's talking about naive, youthful people. And the naive person represents a character set. And we'll look at his character set or his description of his characteristics in a moment. But we find him quite often in the book of Proverbs. He's just a naive person. Now, the Hebrew word for naive is pethi. Pethi. And what that means is, it's an adjective, and it means open-minded. Open-minded. It's from a noun that means wide open spaces or spacious. And as an adjective, it means open-minded. Now, Hebrew, very much like English, tends to take their adjectives and use them as nouns. So the adjective for open-minded, they use it for a noun, and the noun means an open-minded person. We do the same thing in English. For example, I could say, "Boy, that's a giant house over there." Or I could say, "I saw a giant." You see the difference? You use it as a noun and an adjective. The adjective that describes something, and the noun is something, basically, is the difference. So they take their adjectives and use them as nouns. And that's what they've done here with this word pethi. And it means open-minded. So what do you mean by open-minded? Well, his mind is open in the sense that he fails to discriminate yet against right and wrong. Now, for this person, it's a very short step then from becoming what the Old Testament calls seduced. We saw the naive seduced in this section, or deceived, because they just can't discern right and wrong yet, because their heads aren't full of God's word. Now, Proverbs is going to describe this as a temporary condition. A temporary condition. It's described as being temporary because one of two things is going to happen to this naive person. Either he's going to make a choice and fill his head with God's word, or he'll make a choice or not make a choice, because the other is the default. He'll have his head filled with human viewpoint. So whichever way he decides to go, he'll end up somewhere beyond naive. He'll either be wise or he'll move on to foolish in the sequence of undesirables in the book of Proverbs. We have the naive, the foolish, and then the scoffer is at the top, because he's the most unteachable person in the book of Proverbs. The naive person is still teachable. You can still reach him. So that brings up a question. Is it being naive good or bad? Well, it's possible, since the word means open, open-minded, it means simple. That can be used in a good sense. For example, Psalm 19. It's never used in this sense in Proverbs. In Proverbs, it's always negative. But in Psalm 19, you see that it can be used of an attribute that is a good thing to have. In Psalm 19:7, where it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And that's the same word. So if we are open-minded to God's word, that's a positive thing, isn't it? And again, in Proverbs, it's always an undesirable quality. But in the scope of the entire Old Testament, that word can be used in a positive way. Because in our approach to God's word, we should always be simple and open. And just try to figure out, what does God's word say? And we should be not trying to read what we already think we know into it, but trying to see what it's telling us. We should remain open to what the Bible says. Now, it's also possible to be simple and open, that is, naive, in a dangerous sense. This can be a dangerous thing. For example, a person may be simple and open or naive because he's young. He doesn't have experience. And this concept, in fact, of being naive is tied to the concept of being young. Look at Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1:4 says, "To give prudence to the naive." He goes on to describe that further as, "To the youth, knowledge and discretion." So naive and youth are tied together there. Because young people don't have the experience that older people do. So they are, in effect, naive. Now, there's two ways they can come out of that. They can come out of it by being wise and listening to God's word, or they can come out of it being fools and not listening to God's word. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2 through 6, it explains the entire purpose of the book of Proverbs. Remember when we started, this was the purpose of the book. Verse 2 says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles." So the youth spoken of here is in a dangerous position, not necessarily a wicked position, and he is not to be criticized for being naive. He's to be helped for being naive. Criticism is only appropriate if he remains naive. If a young person remains naive, then criticism is due because he's to grow out of that. And we're to teach him out of that. And we're to teach him out of that with God's word. There's always help. The Bible always offers a way for help. And in this case, the way is God's word. That's especially true in the book of Proverbs. It's going to tell you, if you want to be wise, if you don't want to be naive, open-headed, air-headed, a simpleton, if you don't want to be that, then study God's word. Now, on the other hand, a person may be simple and open or naive just because he's stubborn. And those are the ones who are to be criticized. It's not just because they're young, it's because they're stubborn. Look at Proverbs 1:22, where it says, "How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded?" So they love it. And the words, "how long," there are used to express total exhausted patience. I'm just out of patience with you people. How long are you going to love being naive? And again, you have two ways to go. You can learn by God's word, or you can learn by experience. And those are the two choices that the believer has. The believer can learn to live a good quality life by studying God's word, or he can learn, hopefully, by experience. Now, you have to decide which one is more painful. So in this case, time has passed, opportunities abounded. Look at verse 20 and 21, where it says, "Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. And at the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her saying." So there's opportunity to learn wisdom. It's not easy, it's difficult, but the opportunity is there, and it takes a decisive choice to learn it. You don't just learn it automatically as you grow older. You have to make a choice to learn wisdom. So the youth now has become older, but not wiser. And that's what we're to prevent, to avoid. We have to teach our children God's word so they don't have to learn by experience. I did not become a believer till I was in my mid-20s. And I learned a lot of things by experience. And boy, I wish I hadn't. They serve me all right now because I can look back, and when somebody tries to con me about something, I usually know it because I've been there on the other side of the desk, you know. But I really wish I hadn't had to learn it that way. I wish I had learned it by studying God's word instead. So the wisdom that they neglected now turns into wisdom that's rejected. That's when they become the fool, when they reject wisdom. So the naive person has two choices. He can take the path of wisdom, and that's found in God's word. He can study God's word, or he can take the path of independence. I'm going to do what feels right. I'm going to follow my heart. I'm going to do it my way. And when you say that, it's almost laughable because you're not doing it your way. You're doing it human viewpoint's way because that's the default. You don't have a way, believe me. You're going to go with one of two people. You're going to go either with God or Satan. And you can choose. Believers can choose which way to go. Now, I want to make a point here. I want to stop and make a point. I talk a lot about making choices, and the book of Proverbs is all about making choices. Now, some could construe that as, oh, well, Jim's an Arminian, you know, because he teaches free will all the time. I am not an Arminian. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm a Biblicist. I just teach what the Bible says. And the Bible says, especially in Proverbs, that we have to make choices. Now, what prompts us to make those choices is the debate that the Calvinists and the Arminianists have. But the choices are there. They're there throughout the entire Bible. Jesus was a very in-your-face kind of person. You have to choose. You choose to believe me or anybody else. Same in the epistles. You have a choice to make. Now, I won't get into the other argument here about what's behind that choice. I will at a at a later date. In fact, I'll teach a topical study on that because it's very important. But it's not the primary issue here in Proverbs. The issue is you have a choice and you have to make it. Do you want to be a fool or do you want to be wise? And that choice has to be decisive, because if it isn't, you'll follow the path of the fool. That's the default, as we say in the computer trade. So the path of independence really isn't the path of independence. It's a path of human viewpoint. So there's great opportunities for the naive, because in Proverbs 8 that we just finished not too long ago, remember, it starts personifying wisdom as a person, and she begs the naive to listen. Come and get taught. You can learn wisdom. Look at 8:5, for example, where it says, "O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom." So a fool isn't even beyond help. Understand wisdom and you won't be a fool anymore. Now the scoffer, he has to change what he is first before he can learn. The fool can learn. The naive can learn. Look at 4a. "To you, O men, I call. And my voice is to the sons of men." Who's it for? Everybody. Listen and choose. So great opportunity for the naive, because you don't have to remain that way. And that's what these verses are telling us. You know, you don't have to stay naive. That's not an excuse. Say, "Oh, I'm just naive. I don't know any better." Well, then learn God's word and you will. You'll become wise. Even if you're a fool, learn God's word. You'll become wise. Because wisdom is waiting to teach you. As we saw in chapter 1, we see it again here. Wisdom is screaming at you to listen. Every time you open your Bible, it's screaming at you to learn what wisdom is, what God has said. And if you believe the Bible is what it claims to be, which we do here, we have a priori. Everybody has a priori, right? An a priori just means you have to start somewhere. It's the beginning steps. We have two here, only two. One, we believe God exists. And two, we believe that the Bible is what it claims to be. And that is God's word. So if the Bible is God's word, the best way I can possibly spend my time is learning it. Even the empty-headed person has the power of choice. Naive, turn in here. That's what wisdom says. So the empty-headed has the power of choice, but they have to choose to exercise that power. The will determines what fills your mind. Did you ever stop and think about that? And then in the New Testament, the same concept is taught, because Paul teaches us what we should think. And he says, dwell on these things. Remember in Philippians? Dwell on these things, not these things. So if we're commanded to do that, what does that imply? Well, it implies that we can choose what we are taking in, or all of our input methods. You know, we have our eyes and our ears and any input method you can think of. And we're to use those to take in divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. So the will determines what we take in. So the blame is not for being naive, because we're all born that way. That's a fact. We're all born little naive ones, and in fact, we're born little fools. But you don't have to stay that way. And that's what the blame is for staying naive. Not for being naive, but for staying that way. Wisdom is a choice, and it must be decisive. Did you ever make one of those choices like I have in the past that you make a choice and say, yes, this is what I'm going to do. And then the next day you get up and you say, yes, this is the choice I'm going to make. Choice. And you keep making the same choice over and over again. You ever had that happen? I don't know, maybe it's just me. But we need to decide and say, I don't care how I feel tomorrow morning when I get up out of bed. I don't care how I feel this week. I choose to study God's Word. I choose to take in, through all of my input sensory devices, and I speak in computer terms for 30 years of working with them, and I'm going to make a choice whether it seems right or not to me when I get up tomorrow, but I made a choice. I am going to use those inputs to take in divine viewpoint. I'm going to study God's Word. I'm going to learn it. I've made a choice. And I made that choice long ago. And that's why I hide out in my office all the time, because I made that choice. I want to know what God's Word says. And if I learn it well, then hopefully I can communicate it to you guys, because that's my job. So don't make that same decision over and over. Just make it and live with it. If you get up tomorrow and you don't feel like studying God's Word or dwelling on divine viewpoint, just tell yourself, I decided that yesterday. I don't have to decide it again today. Even though it doesn't feel right, I'm going to dwell on God's Word. I'm going to dwell on things that the Bible tells me to dwell on. Some characteristics of the naive person. First of all, he's gullible. Why is he gullible? Well, because his life is not built on the absolutes of God's Word. His life is not built on absolutes. You're going to be gullible. You know, he's going to have an endless succession of ideas, and then he's going to say, wow, I believe this, and he believes it for a while, and then a better idea comes along. Oh, I'm going to jump on that bandwagon and believe it. And it's an endless cycle because he doesn't have an absolute. We have an absolute. It's God's Word, and that's what I believe. So that's what I spend my time working on. The naive person, he believes anything and everything. Now, the sensible man, he considers his steps. Proverbs 14:15 compares these two guys. 14:15, where it says, the naive believes anything, but the sensible man considers his steps. So his head isn't empty. Why not? He has chosen to fill it with divine viewpoint, and he's chosen to act on that. So his mind is active. It's alert. He considers his steps in the light of God's Word. Say, I'm going to do this. How does that square up with God's Word, what I'm about to do? And he thinks about it. He doesn't just say, oh, boy, it really feels good. I'm going to do this. That's human viewpoint. Divine viewpoint says, you stop and think about it. What does God's Word say about this? Is it something that's good to do or something that's bad to do? And since I've chosen to accept God's Word, then I'm going to do what's good to do. Yeah, everybody gets rebellious now and then. I'm sure it's not just me, and say, I know what God's Word wants me to do here, but I'm not going to do it because the other way is too much fun. And then when you do that, it starts spiraling downhill, and pretty soon you're a fool. So the naive person learns the lessons of life the hard way. 1925. Proverbs 1925, strike a scoffer and the naive may become shrewd. So something terrible has to happen to get him to wake up. If you take a scoffer and whack him upside the head with a 2x4, and a naive person is watching that, he says, wow, it might not be wise for me to become a scoffer. So it takes something very difficult, very hard experience to get him to learn something. Now, the man of understanding, he learns just from a word of reproof. Look at the last part of verse 25. But reprove one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. So all I have to do is tell him, the naive one, you got to, something bad has to happen before he'll catch on. So the question you have to ask yourself, and I won't say punk, some people watch the Dirty Harry movies. The man of understanding, he learned simply from a word of reproof. How do you want God to get your attention? Do you want him to get your attention by reading what he says? Or do you want him to get your attention by whacking you upside the head with a 2x4? Or whacking someone you love upside the head with a 2x4? That's the choice you have to make if you're a believer. If you're an unbeliever, you have to make the choice to believe God's word, because all wisdom begins where? Fear of the Lord, right. So if you don't have that, forget the rest, because you have to start there. Now, the naive also has little moral perception. He doesn't perceive moral things. Look at Proverbs 22:3, where it says, the prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. So he just goes blindly along. He doesn't realize that what he's doing even is wrong, because he doesn't have moral perception. He lacks the ability to perceive this evil. So what does he do? He takes what we call the path of least resistance. I see the naive person as like the metal ball in a pinball machine. He's just all over the place. He's knocked over. He goes wherever something doesn't get in his way. Just moving along, letting things carry him around from one place to another. And he ends up in trouble. Now, mine always ended up in tilt, because I used to get really into pinball. Probably a lot of you people don't even know what pinball is. You young folks play all the computer games. But a prudent man, this verse says, not only can he perceive evil, but he avoids it. Now, which would you want to be? Would you want to be the little ball in the pinball machine, or would you want to be somebody who sits down and thinks things over and say, you know what? If I pursue this course, I might get into trouble. And I've decided not to. So the naive person doesn't really have a perception of sin. And he doesn't consider the consequences. And that's a big, giant, negative thing. That is something that God's word says over and over and over and over again. Think about the consequences. What's going to happen if you do this? Because the naive person doesn't see the afterwards. Look at Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man sees evil and hides himself. This is like the one we just looked at. And the naive proceed and what? Pay the penalty. So they get in trouble because they just going down the line, you know, that I hit that bumper over there, now I'm headed this way, and all of a sudden I'm in trouble. Don't consider the consequences. You know, it's not likely that a naive person goes down this path because he likes to get into trouble. He doesn't intentionally get in trouble. He just doesn't know any better. He can't perceive sin. He can't perceive what he's doing is wrong. So how can he be cured of that? Learn the word. And so you can know what's right and what's wrong and what's even dangerous. I mean, a naive person doesn't like to get hurt any more than a wise person. But he does because he doesn't have the smarts. Not the smarts, that's a bad word. He doesn't have the experience. He doesn't have the knowledge. He doesn't have the wisdom of God's word to tell him which way to go. He just doesn't think. Especially when it comes to considering the consequences of his actions. He doesn't consider the afterwards, because there's always an afterwards. We tend to forget that, but there's always an afterwards. You know, today we'd call this a naive person acts on his knee-jerk reactions. Have you ever heard that phrase? Just whatever pops into your mind first. He flies on it. And you see a lot of people acting that way in mainline Christianity and in political news, just everywhere. People are really a bunch of knee-jerks anymore. They don't think about things. They just act. You know, it feels like I should do that. So he bumbles on through life from one painful experience to another painful experience, just like the bumpers on that pinball machine. It goes from one to the other, back, forth, and throughout life. So how does he end up? Two endings for the naive person are mentioned in Proverbs, and the first is his intermediate end. That's in 14:18. Proverbs 14:18 says that the naive inherit foolishness, but the sensible are crowned with knowledge. So if you stay naive, if you don't make a decision to be not naive and learn God's word, you know what? You're going to become a fool. And that's a step further down the ladder. And we'll look at him next hour. First we have naive, who's just bumbling around. Now that proceeds into being a fool. So if nothing is there to stop him, he's going to become a fool. He's going to graduate from naivete to folly. So now he doesn't know that he should take the long view. And when he becomes a fool, he refuses to take the long view. He says, I don't want to take the long view. I don't like it. I have more fun if I live for the moment. Well, he forgets about the afterwards, and he totally ignores it then when he becomes a fool. And that's his intermediate end. What's his ultimate end? That's in Proverbs 1:32. And it's very sad because it's needless. It is needless. 1:32 says, for the waywardness of the naive will kill them. So that's the ultimate end of the naive person. He refuses to change, he becomes a fool, and it ultimately eventuates in death. Now remember, life and death in Proverbs are talking about a quality of life. You can be one of the walking dead if you walk and you're a believer, and if you walk outside of fellowship with God, you're a living dead person. And it's not pleasant. But if you want to live, and that is live life to its fullest, then you walk in accordance with God's will. So the naive ends in death, and it's a tragedy, and the tragedy is compounded by the fact that all through Proverbs we've had, or 1 through 9, the teacher's instruction, all the way through it we've had wisdom screaming to be heard, begging to be heard. So it's a double tragedy when somebody ends up dead because of their naivete, because they didn't have to. they didn't have to be naive. You know, Proverbs offers wisdom to young and old alike. Even if you're an old person and you are still naive, you know what? You can still learn. I don't care if you're 150, you can still learn God's word. The naive, they rather learn by experience. So what's the difference? Well, the Bible gives us an alternative to experience. And that's the one thing I've really loved out of the book of Proverbs is that, you know, young folks, naive folks, whatever your age, you can learn a different way. You don't have to go through the experience because the Bible is here. God's word instructs us and it prepares us for the tests that we're going to face. And the New Testament says you're guaranteed to have trouble. That's a guarantee. If you're a believer, you're going to have trouble. The Bible prepares us for that. And it prepares us to make choices. Now, experience, on the other hand, tests us first. You see the difference? If you're wise, you'll be prepared for the test. If you're not, you'll take the test and fail, and then you'll have to learn from it. So which way would you rather go? How would you rather learn? By being knocked down, drugged down, hung up, all kinds of mean, nasty, and ugly things? Or would you rather read God's word and understand it, know it, learn it, have it at your disposal, whether it's in your memory or just even the books? You know, I know which book to go to find out about that. If I go to Proverbs, if I get my Strong's Concordance out and look up a subject in Proverbs, I can learn from that. Now, you guys have had the teacher's introduction. You can go ahead and study the rest of Proverbs by taking a subject and looking through it. See what Proverbs has to say about it. So, you want to go the painful way or the easy way? And there's no easy way because gaining wisdom is hard too. But I'd rather have it difficult than painful. That's just my personal preference there. Father, thank you for this book of Proverbs you've given us to tell us how to live skillful lives as Christians. And we pray that we can graduate from being naive, not to being foolish, but to being wise. And we pray that we can learn what you would have us do and what you think about things and how your attitudes line up. Everything we call divine viewpoint. Father, we pray in Christ's name, amen.